from where? Well, I know my father originally was in Pennsylvania, so he definitely came from there.
Yes.
My mother, I guess, came from Germany. I don't know where else.
Well, is there a traditional means of livelihood in your family, such as farming?
Well, my father wasn't much of a farmer. We didn't really have a farm. He did mostly carpenter work.
And he was the postmaster?
Well, in later years, yes. And ran the village store. He had that too, you know.
Oh, yeah.
At the same time. Yes. They were both together.
Yes. And that was the Northridge store, the same
yes.
store down
same
there?
Thing.
The Johnson brothers had?
Yes.
Yes, that's interesting. Do any of your family homes still stand?
Well, just the one at the foot of the hill, and that burned, so it's been all reconstructed, that's all.
Well, it really does still stand, that
yes,
little family
yes.
home, where Mrs. Stender lives.
Yeah.
Yes. Would you like to talk about your early memories of childhood?
They were very happy anyway. Always had a good time. I can't. What would you talk about? The surroundings or going to school or what?
Going to school, your playmates, and so forth?
Well, I know we always walked to school, up to the 7th District School. And
how far was that?
It's about a mile and a half, isn't it? Well, it's a good mile anyway. And in the wintertime, I can always remember this, in the wintertime, they would come over from the Stiles Brick Company with the horses and a lumber wagon and to cart wood off the mountain to make their bricks, to fire their bricks. And those men almost always gave us a ride to school. Remember that.
How nice. About how many pupils were in the school?
Oh, probably around 15, something like that. 15, 20. Not very many.
And they ranged through all the grades?
Oh, yes. Went right through from first to, I suppose you'd call it 8th grade. Yeah. There were no grades. We just went along as we could. Went from one reader to the next reader and on up, that's all. But as far as grades, report cards, or anything like that, they didn't exist.
Are there any particular teachers that you remember well?
Well, I can remember, two that I remember particularly is Sadie Neal, who afterwards married Frank Merriam. His sister married DeWitt Mumphrey, remember?
Yeah.
And I can remember her, she was there several years. The very younger teachers, in my younger days, I don't remember at all. Then the last one was Clara Munson. Mm. And she was the one that helped me get ready to go to Northfield.
She was a good teacher.
Oh yes, yeah, she taught there a number of years.
You were fortunate.
Yes.
Are you prepared to go to Northfield Seminary, as it was called?
Yes, but I did put in one preparatory year after I got there, so that I put in 5 years at Northfield instead of the regular four-year high school. I had to put in 1 year of prep, what they called a prep. They had 2 years of prep. School there. I went in for the second year and then on to the rest of it.
Clara Munson became Mrs. Farnham.
Yes.
Mrs. Elmer Farnham.
Yes.
Yes. Well, as a child, did you participate as part of the family economic plan?
I guess you
girls, you probably didn't.
Well, what do you mean from the standpoint of going out and earning money or something like that? They didn't do that in those days.
Well, around the home and.
Oh yes, I suppose I helped as much as I could.
Do you remember any outstanding family social affairs, such as Christmas and Thanksgiving?
Oh yes, we always made a lot of Christmas, and all foreign people did, and by the so-called Americans, they were looked at in a, they thought they were kind of queer with their Christmas trees and all that. The Americans didn't have Christmas trees. They thought you were sort of odd with a Christmas tree. And we wouldn't have thought we could go on without a Christmas tree.
At about what period would you say Christmas trees began to be generally used?
Well, I would say, about when I was about 14, 15 years old, then more people used them. They used them in the schools, in the church. But I can remember when Christmas trees were a very rare thing.
Well, that's interesting. That was the early days of the century.
Yes.
Up to 1910.
Yes.
And 4th of July, was that celebrated? Publicly?
No, I don't think so. I can't remember 4th of July, except that I would have a few firecrackers and have a little fun around home, but I can't ever remember it being celebrated as a town affair. Only one I can remember being celebrated as a town affair was Memorial Day. And I can remember marching from the church to the cemetery, and all the youngsters would march back of old Dan Jones playing the drum. And that's the way we'd march down through.
Preceded by a service in the church?
Yes, yes. The youngsters would give, recite and sing and things of that nature.
And who was Dan Jones, please?
Well, Dan Jones was an old bachelor. And he lived with his sister, Stella Jones, for a good many years, who had the house that Esther Smith owns now. Then in his latter years, he lived in a shop across the, kind of a shop across the street, which has since been torn down.
And who lived where Jim Auger's house is now, up there on the triangle? Connecting the two roads.
That was
that a Jones house?
Yeah. No. That was
Was it a Tyler house?
No. There's another bachelor lived there, and his sister lived down where Mrs. King's daughter lives now.
Yeah.
What was his name? I'm no good at names anyway, so.
Well, who made the preparations for holiday events? At the churches? Or who made the preparations for the Memorial Day?
Well, I don't know. I suppose the select men and, the town officials, I guess, got the thing going.
Yes. Was the church an important aspect of the family?
Well, when I was growing up in that period, I think it was at a very, very low ebb. Didn't seem to amount to very much. Particularly the Congregational Church was way down at that time. And that was probably one of the things that led me to go to the Episcopal Church, because some of the schoolmates that I palled with went to the Episcopal Church, and they would take me along, and that's how I became Episcopalian. Not that it makes a bit of difference.
Oh, what were the special events associated with the church?
Well, I know they always celebrated Christmas. Well, of course, Easter was an important religious event, but I don't think they did. I don't remember the children doing too much, but at Christmas time, they would have quite a party and recite and sing. And in those days, why, the church always gave you a little gift of some kind, accompanied with an orange. An orange was an important article in those days.
I remember. Mm-hmm. Were there any personalities that stand out in your memory that you would call your family discussing? What years are we talking about? When you were growing up?
Up to 15. At 15, I went to Northfield. There was 5 years in there.
I mean dates.
Oh, Len, I don't know. I'm no good at dates.
The late 90s up to 1910.
I was born in 1890, so it would be
up to 1905.
Well,
I thought we ought to place that.
Yeah, I think I entered Northfield in 1906.
Yes.
Because I graduated in 1911.
Yeah. So. Oh, that fixes it.
Who were the prominent people
in the town at that time? Who were the select men? And of course, it's a matter of record, a matter of history, but do you remember any particular personalities that stood out?
No, I don't. I just don't. Because among the clergymen that I remember, of course, was Mr. Paradis. I knew him for many years.
I was looking at his tombstone the other day, and I was thinking that.
And of course, there was a period that there were we had different ones, and then Mr. Smith, of course, was there for years and years.
Yes, indeed. What do you recall about transportation? And how were the roads?
Well, the roads were dirt roads. I can remember the, talking about roads, I can remember that in the right across from our house, where the Wallingford Road comes down into what's now Middletown Avenue, there was a triangle of grass in that place there, so that the roads curved each side of it, and then the Middletown Avenue went straight across. But there was quite a patch of green in there. And then, of course, the blacksmith shop was just above there on the road to Wallingford.
Where the shed is now?
Yes. Yes, that was John Rood's blacksmith shop.
Oh, yes, well, that's important.
And I can all, there's this that I can remember about that. The men, of course, would come there to have their horses shod, and it took quite a while to have a horse shod. Sometimes there'd be three or four men there, and first thing you know, they would come out of that door, just doubling up with laughter. And my mother would say, well, old John Woods told another one. He was a great one at telling tales. They had many a good time in that shop, I guess.
And did John Wood live in the house?
No, John Wood lived in with Maggie Auger, which was the house next to us.
Oh, yes.
You know, she had that for a great many years.
Well, that was quite a settlement there, wasn't it?
Yes.
It was quite a neighborhood.
Yes, of course, originally, that was beyond my... before my time, he lived in that house that's right there on the corner. That was his house. But his children were all grown, and his wife had died, and he lived with Mrs. Auger as long as I ever knew him.
Let's see, what is that? What is the label on that house? Historically, well, I can't think. Was Middletown Avenue a dirt road?
Yes. Oh, yes. It was a dirt road for a good many years. I think they put the first macadam road in when I was about... 14, 15 in that area, because the foreman of that crew lived in our house while that road was being put in, and they were there for, 6 months, maybe a year, I really don't remember, but he was there all the time that road was put in, from Middletown down to Mount Louise, I guess, or wherever they, but no, down to the town line. Well, I don't know. Probably down to Middletown, down to the Four Corners.
Was there any public transportation?
No.
Well, what effect do you think the paving of the road had on the town, if any? Did it make it much easier to get the farmer's produce to town?
Oh, yes, certainly that, because, of course, in the spring, those roads could be quite unmerciful. It would have what we used to call sinkholes in it. Wouldn't all be mud, but there'd be certain areas that would be pretty difficult to get through.
At about what time did John Wood cease operation, would you say? Was he still operating when you went away to school?
I don't think so, but I really can't recall that at all. I don't think so. I just can't remember.
Now, there was a house opposite your home. Who lived there?
Oh, you mean the one that was opposite Mr. Tucker? Because Tucker lived to the north of us, down in that house that's down in the hollow there.
No, I mean on the other side of the...
But he owned the one on the other side, too. He owned all that land there. And nobody lived in it for a great many years. And then there was a Negro family lived in there by the name of Harrison. And we were talking about it only the other day. There was the two youngsters went to school, of course. There was Willie and Lily. And Lily was quite lame, but Willie was the younger. And he chipped a corner off my sister's tooth, front tooth, by throwing a stone at her. And I said, I asked her one day, whatever started that anyway? Oh, she says, I suppose I was teasing him, and I guess I had it coming to me. And then afterwards, they moved out, and the father of the family was quite lame, too. I think he was a result of the war, I guess, or something. I don't know. The mother was the chief bread earner there. And later on, they left there, and they moved down to the old tin shop way down there in the, you know, where it used to be way back there below Maley's.
Pretty uncomfortable place to live, I think.
I would imagine so. I went down, I can just barely remember going down there once with my mother to visit, I guess. I don't know what else. And apparently this place was just one great big room. And the thing I can remember is the unbleached muslin partitions put up to make rooms out of this place that she had done herself. When you think back on that, I thought that was pretty clever to do.
Yes. Well, then at the right, up the road a little, the Reverend Mr. Beach.
Yes.
Lived.
Yes. Well, of course, I can remember when Mr. Maltby lived there. And of course.
Oh, which Mr. Maltby was that?
That was. I can't remember what his name was. He was not. He was not related to, I don't think he was related to Sam Maltby and Ben Maltby and that family. If he was, it was in a distant relationship. It's funny, I can't remember what his name was.
You remember what his business was?
Well, they had a, of course, there was a sawmill.
Yes.
On that pond there, and he did run that. But I don't remember him running it in my lifetime, but he originally, because he was quite an elderly man by the time I can remember him, so he wasn't doing much of anything then. But that place did run, and he ran it, I know that.
Well, then the Reverend Mr. Beach lived there.
He married Mr. Maltby's daughter, Ophelia, and his daughter Mary was a music teacher in New York. And there's one thing that I can remember being a very young, about one of the earliest things I can remember was Mary Maltby riding down through town on a bicycle early one morning to say that the Ed Maltby place was on fire. And that's the place where Gordon Miller is now. And of course, there wasn't anything they could do. It was on fire, and they had to burn, and there were absolutely nothing to put it out with. There was a Woodstock family lived there at that time.
The Ed Maltby place.
Yeah, well, that house, of course, was.
Mariah Todd place, I've heard it called.
No, that's not the same one. This is where Gordon Miller is now.
Yes.
And that house stood quite near the road. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, Gordon's house is the old barn.
Yes.
That belonged to that place.
Right.
But the whole house, it was a house very much like Mrs. Beach's house, or like the Beach house, very much on the same type. A two-story house, a good-sized house.
Was Mr. Beach the pastor of the Congregational Church when
yes.
he lived there?
Yes.
For about how many years?
I don't know. As long as he lived, just about.
25 years or something like that?
I should imagine so, probably.
Well, You've mentioned John Woods as being a blacksmith. There were other blacksmiths around, weren't there? There was one down at the
Yes, that was Harry Barnett. Had a blacksmith shop down there.
Yes, we knew Mr. Barnett.
Yeah.
Those were the only two.
Those were the only two. And then much later, Mr. Revere came in and ran the blacksmith shop there at the, what was it, the old card shop, I guess they called it.
Oh,
where
yes.
the tavern is, but this side
yes.
of the river.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mr. Revere ran a blacksmith shop for a good many years.
Yes.
But the other two were, well, he was in competition with Mr. Barnett for a few years, but Wood had gone out long before Mr. Revere came.
And you don't remember the date at which
no.
Wood went out?
No, I can't remember the dates at all.
Well, Mr. Revere probably was there until the early 1920s.
Yes, I think so. Mm-hmm.
And the other blacksmith shop, Mr. Barnett had retired, and when we came to, in 1929, he had retired, and another man who lived in the barber house was running the blacksmith shop, and I can't remember his name.
Must have been for a very short period.
Probably.
No, I don't remember his name either.
Well, that sort of takes care of blacksmith shops. Of course, they all ceased as automobiles became more numerous.
Yes.
And the one at the center seemed to persist until about 1930, as I remember it.
Probably,
you were
away. I just don't remember.
You wouldn't remember. Local industry had completely ceased.
Yes, as far as any of those shops were concerned, of course there were three of them standing, but never as they were originally used. And the only one that was used at all was the Revere Blacksmith Shop. That's the only industry that I remember in there.
The brick shop.
Yeah. Was it brick?
Yes,
it was brick. But the old, what they call the rivet shop, I never remember that being used, and I never remember the tin shop being used, except this family living in there for a short while.
Where was the rivet shop?
On the bend just opposite Huey's house, right there on that bend. And there was a dam in there, too,
yes.
A low dam. Mm-hmm.
The remains of it is still
yeah.
there. Well, of course, kerosene was used until about 1926.
Yes, just about that.
And the electricity came.
I think Alfred was about, oh, 2 or 3 years old when we had electricity come.
Well, I know everyone was very excited about it when we, the time when we bought our place, and we sort of marveled because we'd always taken electricity as a matter of course, you know, but everyone was very excited about all the changes it was making. How did you feel about it here on this farm? Did it work a great and sudden change?
Well, it certainly was, and of course, as far as electricity is concerned, and the farm woman, well, for instance, almost any home woman probably eased her work considerably. I think one of the greatest blessings to us seemed to be the electric refrigerator. Not have to have those big chunks of ice lugged through your kitchen every 2-3 days to replenish the ice chest. And, of course, it was a great blessing in the barn, too. But I can remember that when the electricity came on, my husband saying, well, I'll always carry a lantern with me anyway. And the first night that he had electricity, he took the lantern down, but I noticed the lantern never went after that first night. He couldn't, he had hard work finding the lantern. He always got a great laugh out of that, taking the lantern down.
It must have been a great help in the barns.
Yes. Because we didn't get no